Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. This is March 16th, 1:30 in the State Capitol Room. Present, we have Senator Stedman, Senator Olson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk, myself, Senator Hoffman. This afternoon's agenda, we have two items on the agenda. We will be hearing from Office of Management and Budget on additional amendments. And then we will have response to the committee for committee questions. So is OMB come forward? Lacey Sanders, please identify yourself for the record and present us. Oh, you want to spend some more money?
Thank you, Chair Hoffman. Good afternoon, everyone. For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders. I am the director for the Office of Management and Budget. And as noted today, we have a packet of amendments that was transmitted to the legislature last Friday, March 13th, that I will walk through today. So I'm going to start on slide two. This is, again, our updated fiscal year 2026 and fiscal year 2027 short fiscal summary of unrestricted general funds only. I will note the two changes that were made are the incorporation of the fiscal summary, or excuse me, the revised spring update that was released on Friday by the Department of Revenue. So it incorporates the change in revenues that were presented to this committee this morning. And then as well, the supplementals that we'll walk through into on the next slides for both fiscal year 2026 and fiscal year 2027. As you'll note, the takeaway, the surplus deficit has been adjusted. There will be a proposed surplus of $65.9 million under the governor's proposed amendments as well as the spring forecast. So it accounts for the approximately $544 million of additional revenue that's projected. And then, again, you'll also note that the overall deficit for fiscal year 2027 has been revised downward to just over $1.1 billion. Just, you know, remarking, this is the governor's proposed budget that we have been discussing over the last several months, as well as the amendments that have been transmitted. I think the biggest, one of the larger takeaways to that $1.1 billion deficit is that this does include the statutory dividend, $2.3 billion, as well as those amendment packets that had been presented. So, this is obviously just a very high-level summary, doesn't provide the details that I'd like to walk through, so if it's okay with the committee, I'll proceed to slide number three. All right. So for fiscal year 2027, the first slide that we have is operating items. So at the top, you'll see the governor's proposed budget that was introduced on December 11th. Moving down, we have the amendment deadline that is a statutory deadline of February 18th. That's the 30th day of legislative session, and there were amendments proposed at that time. The legislature has been gracious throughout the years to continue to accept amendments after the 30th statutory day as things come to our attention. So that would bring us to the March 13th packet of governor's amendments. Very high level, this packet is a total of $18.2 million of unrestricted general funds, total of $19.1 million in all funding sources, and I will walk through what these are for the committee. So starting at the top, for the Department of Corrections, and again, it's also broken down on slide four, if that's okay with the chair, I'll move to slide four. Starting with the Department of Corrections, the interest arbitration agreement for the Alaska Correctional Officers Association, or ACOA, that did come to terms and presented those terms to the legislature for the cost of living adjustments. So throughout the Department of Corrections budget, we have incorporated the costs associated with those changes. It totals $8.8 million, and of that, $8.6 million is unrestricted general funds. Under the Department of Family and Community Services, we have a increase for the residents' cost to provide care for the Alaska Pioneer Homes. There is a corresponding supplemental. This is to align the Department of Family and Community Services budget with what the actual experience is and the needs to ensure that we are paying for the cost associated with the care. Under the Department of Health, there is just under $1.4 million request for the Senior Benefits Payment Program. It does note here that there's a corresponding supplemental. That supplemental was actually included in the last round of amendments, so we're just noting that there is a corresponding supplemental. This provides for that continuation of funding into fiscal year 2027. As we've seen, the number of seniors receiving those benefit payments increase. And then lastly here on this slide, we have the Department of Law. We have a $2 million increase associated with the cost that they have been seeing in the criminal division. Over the years, the criminal division has seen a significant increase tied to expert witnesses as well as travel costs, along with the costs associated with their lease expenditures and operations. They have historically used their vacancy of positions to address those rising costs and are beyond the ability at this point to continue to use vacancy to address those costs. And so we're bringing forward a $2 million increment for fiscal year 2027. There is a corresponding supplemental that is not $2 million, it's $1.5 million for the current year. And we'll talk about that on a future slide. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to, let me just back up one bit. There were no capital amendments for fiscal year 2027. That's why we're moving now to the supplemental budget. So again, starting at the top, we have the supplementals that were introduced by the governor in the December 11th budget. There have been supplementals by the 15th day as well as by the 30th day of legislative session. We are now at March 13th supplemental requests. And we'll talk through those here in just a moment for the overall total supplementals at $227.4 million. So if I move on to slide number 6, we can talk through those supplementals that were on the previous page. So under the Department of Family and Community Services, again, we have a supplemental request of $5.2 million to bring the costs of operating the Pioneer Homes and providing the payment assistance program up to the amount projected for the needs of the individuals living in those facilities. Under the Department of Health, we have an operating item here for a reappropriation. This is actually tied to a capital item. The Department of Health has been scrubbing their capital appropriations and has identified $1.84 million that could be available towards continuing the assessment capacity for individuals and seniors. This is a backlog that is being addressed by some positions that were brought on to the Department of Health. That one-time funding has expired and is no longer available, and so they are proposing to use capital funds to continue that, addressing that backlog. Under the Department of Law, you'll see we have $1.5 million that I spoke to earlier to address those criminal, the division of, I'm sorry, the criminal division's increasing costs. But a new item on here is $4 million for what is referred to as the Vail lawsuit. This is a new litigation that was brought to the state. There is a significant amount of data associated with this. This is pertaining to those in the Department of Corrections care. The files are the volume of files that have to be retained for evidence and for review is significant. The Department of Law has started that work this year and anticipates that it will continue into the next year. I will preface this request with $4 million is not going to be sufficient to address the entirety of the case. This body may be familiar with a similar case that was brought before the state, the ABC lawsuit. The costs were substantial in that case as well. And so we anticipate in the future years we'll be back before the committee with increased cost to address this litigation. And then lastly, we do have a technical correction on here, or a technical adjustment. There were two fire disaster declarations that were submitted during the interim. This is officially recording those transactions. We've been counting for those numbers, we being the Office of Management and Budget and Legislative Finance Division, since the beginning of session. Just want to make sure that formal item is on the record. Seeing no questions, we'll move on to capital supplemental requests. In December, the governor's budget included the $70.2 million associated with the straight STIP program within the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We do have a few new supplementals that are requested in the capital budget for this packet, and I will move on to slide number 8 to address both of those. Within the Department of Health, we have the $1.84 million that I spoke about earlier in the operating budget. So we have a negative and a positive for this reappropriation, one recording it in the capital, the second recording it in the operating, but they net to zero. We also have an additional capital reappropriation, so from multiple capital projects into one capital project. This is $7.1 million to address Medicaid electronic service authorization solution. There are numerous changes that need to be made to our systems due to changes in the Medicaid program. This funding would provide the Department of Health money to make those improvements in the system. And then we also have the request under the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. This is $150,000 of airport receipts to install a backup generator in Antioch. On slide 9, we've provided a summary for the committee. Based on the total by program and area, we had this in a previous slide before the committee on what the governor's supplementals total through March 13th, 2026. You can see that total is $426.8 million. I will note that difference between the earlier number that I had provided has to do with the transfer for the Higher Education Investment Fund. So if you add the $129.6 million, the total supplemental requests are $426.8 million. For some context, we did provide what is currently in HB 289, the $373.5 million, and where those programs are, which programs are funded within that bill, and a comparison. I will also like to note for the committee's reference in the packet and the materials before the committee, this year we did provide, or this amendment packet does include what we refer to as ratifications. Those are expenditures relating to a prior or previous closed fiscal year that had an expenditure that exceeded the appropriation authority. Those ratifications are included in the backup for the committee, as well as the request to make the correction. And with that, I'm happy to address any questions.
Do members of the committee have any questions at this point? Stedman.
Yes, can we go back to page number two? Mr. Chairman, now that the OMB directors walked through this, let's just, if we can touch bases on this again. So FY26, Mr. Chairman, all in, all known supplementals request as of today, with the current pricing update that we got today with revenue forecasts, we have a surplus as potential surplus of $65.9 million, is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, that is correct.
Okay, so this is all in. And then for FY27, all in, assuming we do the governor's requested dividend, we'd have the deficit of $1.142 billion. So that's also all in, everything known as of today, without the capital budget.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, that is correct.
Or increases in our operating budget. And I noticed that there was a couple of capital items. And is there an opportunity or an interest from the administration to come in with a recommended capital budget items for FY27 that we haven't started putting together yet? But we're going to, in particular, is there going to be any guidance offered on what the administration feels would be appropriate from their point of view dealing with the K-12 major maintenance for schools, the university, and courts as three examples. There's three big items that are out there. I'm just kind of curious the position, as of today anyway, of the administration on that.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, the position of the governor continues to be that we have a very volatile fiscal outlook. I believe that was shared this morning by the economists with the Department of Revenue. Mm-hmm. And while we may have seen an increase in available revenue this year, that outlook is still quite volatile, and we have not provided a path forward on the state's fiscal plan in trying to resolve that volatility in the budget process and the revenues that we receive on an annual basis. So at this time, there is no plan to put forward additional amendments for the items that you noted.
Okay, fair enough. Then I assume there will be no other capital items submitted also. Was that a fair assumption?
Through the chair.
For 27.
Co-Chair Stedman, yes. As you'll see in the previous amendments that were spoken to, and if it's okay with the committee, I'll move forward to the capital slide. The approach that has been taken by the administration is to really look at what we have in existing capital projects to move, forward with reappropriations or existing sources of revenue. I will say I do anticipate a package of amendments specific to the capital as it relates to the State Transportation Improvement Plan and Airport Improvement Plan. The allocations that we provide to the legislature for that fiscal year 2027 package will be coming in a future amendment.
Okay. And I might comment that we have taken the amendments up to this point, but in viewing these items, there are going to be skepticism if these expenditures are ongoing. It's difficult to fund items that are ongoing knowing that the dollars that we're going to receive with the higher prices of oil are temporary. And to add ongoing expenditures on a short-term basis, whether it be 1, 2, or 3 years, does not make sense to me as an individual. So we need to have that dialogue at this table on where we go forward with what I perceive as one-time funding. And I think Senator Stedman is alluding to if we spend the money on capital, those are one-time expenditures, and we'll end up with some concrete. But to increase the budget, only having to decrease it in future years, in the immediate future, does not make sense to me as a chairman of the operating budget.
Chair Hoffman, we're in agreement with you on that. The items that we continue to bring forward are contractual in nature or, you know, existing obligations that the state has.
Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I think also just on the capital, we haven't started that process yet, so it's early because we were concerned about the revenue situation of the state and still am. We still are because of the wide dispersion of results as far as total revenue. So I think when we take a look at the maintenance, and we will be looking at the university courts and K-12, we have asked the Commissioner of Education to put forward her own list, because she has the ability to modify that recommended list. So we look forward for that submission and then the dialogue with you to talk about that list and what we want to do. Because preferably we're hoping that we'd get some agreement on some of these total dollars, if we could at all do that. And then when we look at the maintenance, the general maintenance, the last few years we've given just block grants out. This year we'll be looking at list of projects to see what would be maintained. And I'll have a conversation with my colleagues about actually listing the projects in the bill. So there'll be a little bit of work, I think, to do. And I don't know what recommendations that the administration wants to come forward with, but we want to hear what the administration has to say, and recognizing that the administration has the ability to red pen whatever items they don't like. So we understand that. And ideally, what I'd like to do, there's so much deferred maintenance around the state, is to come to an agreement on acceptable maintenance targets. So it's beneficial to the state as a whole, versus us do a $30 or $40 or $50 million appropriation down a list, and then the administration decides they're going to fund half of it or a third of it or none of it or whatever. Ideally, that's what I'd like to see, and we'll work on that and see if we can't come to reasonable agreement on the list. I don't think there's interest. There's an interest, I think, from the committee to try to avoid creating our own lists. We want to work with the administration's list and rank priority.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, you touched briefly on one that's under the Department of Education that is from my perspective and my historical context of that list, has been a very solid process that is defined. At this point, I would need to defer to that list. That is the approved list that has been vetted by the experts in that area. Mm-hmm. I understand and have heard the remarks regarding the Department of Education's commissioner coming up with a separate list. Happy to look at that list, but again, I think we have those priority lists in place for a reason, with a process, and if there needs to be a change to the process, that is through either a statute change or a regulatory process. And so, Again, happy to work with the committee on what the committee is looking at and provide information back. I, at this point, cannot make a commitment to what the governor will or will not do, but happy to engage in those conversations and share the message that's being relayed.
No, if I could, Mr. Chairman, yeah, I would agree with most of what you said. I think the Commissioner of Education does have the statutory authority in the statutes to modify that list if she feels that is appropriate. And I would like to just hear from, you know, the department on what their personal opinion is, because there's some projects that have been on that list for years. And there was testimony here at the committee that the process we have in statute, which has that committee, ad hoc committee, review it and create that list, is broken. And as I recall, the testimony was that those members' school districts have a tendency of being in priority order versus other school districts that don't have representation on that board. And that is why we asked the commissioner to look at that and come back with, you know, their own list. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to fund her list or that suggested list by the committee, but she made it very clear that she thought the process was broken, and we also asked her for recommendations on statutory work we could do to fix the issue, because we would like to see those lists put together in a fair and equitable way where we in the legislature just have a discussion and debate on total dollars going down the list.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman. Yes, I'm agreeing with you.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Are there further questions that finance members have on the presentation today? Seeing none, do you have any closing comments, Ms. Sanders?
Chair Hoffman, I was asked to just touch briefly on the follow-up that was provided from a prior committee, if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you. So on February 19th, there was a presentation on the governor's amended budget. So in the committee's packet, there is a letter with some attachments to it. The first item on the list was the planning in progress for the IT modernization in the Department of Health's Division of Public Assistance. Attached to the memo are the timelines associated with the project moving into the future. So they're colored calendar documents for the committee so that you have the information tied to when that project will hit certain benchmarks. There was a second request on page 2 of a breakdown for upfront costs versus ongoing costs related to the Division of Mining, Land, and Water's Permitting, Modernization, and Reform Capital Project. The Department of Natural Resources provided information on what has been spent so far and the plan moving forward for using an off-the-shelf system that they're looking at purchasing. And then lastly, there was a question by the committee on a 10-year projection of state government staffing levels by the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. They do a 10-year projection that the most recent the upcoming information that will be released in the fall of 2026 will cover out to 2034 specific to state government staffing. And I am happy to address any questions.
Any additional questions or comments by Senate Finance members? Senator Stedman.
Yes, if I could, on the dealing with the STIP, I'm just trying to start the capital project or capital budget thought process, I guess. When should we expect that list?
Chair Stedman, I believe we have an amendment deadline of April 24th to get final amendments to the body. We recognize that usually the STIP information comes a little bit sooner. If we can get a coordinated effort with the Department of Transportation and get that provided sooner, we will make every effort to do that, knowing that the body is working on the capital budget.
Yes, that would be helpful because it's going to be tight and there's a lot of interest in any revenue of I don't want to say excess revenue, but the capital budget's been so tight for so many years. And then there's agency problems in the operating budget we want to try to address, too. So,
thank you, Senator Stedman. Further comments or questions by Senate Finance members? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Sanders, for that presentation. That concludes this afternoon's meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., We have three bills on the agenda, first being Senate Bill 164, Eliminate Tax Discounts, Senate Bill 55, TERS, Counter Rates, PERS, and TERS, and then SJR 29, Constitutional Amendment for Education Funding. Seeing none, we are adjourned.